Amen. Thank you, ladies, for that. You can turn into your Bibles into 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll be in verse 5 to start out this morning. We'll just take in a brief break from the Gospel of John to do a sermon a little bit more tailored to mothers, but also to all of us, as we'll see as I work through our text. So today I'll be doing something a little bit different than what I usually do. So instead of taking one text and expounding the main point of the passage, today I'll take two passages that are very similar, work through them, and bring out an implication of truth that's related to each of them. And so as we celebrate Mother's Day today, I want to show you the impact of Timothy's mother and grandmother on his life. But like I said, this sermon won't be merely be for mothers, for I'll show you what each of us is called to do for other people. So I have titled the sermon this morning, The Impact of a Deeply Rooted Faith. I think about one of the songs by the band 10th Avenue North is called No Man Is an Island. And in that song, they sing, "We're not meant to live this life alone." Isn't that so true? It's so easy to think that we can kind of do life on our own, to kind of live on a Christian island, or to live our Christian lives by ourselves. But that's not how God has created us to live and to function. Instead, God has worked it out so that other people have an impact on us. Now, surely, for sure, God works in our lives. The Word of God works through in our lives. But also, other people sharing God's Word works in our lives. You think about sermons. You think about teaching. Those things are sharing God's Word, and it works in your life. God's Word is active, and it's working in your life. So where do they encourage you? They challenge you, uplift you, teach you. They're making an impact on you, even when you don't realize it. So when you think about your own life and you kind of look back upon your spiritual walk, your spiritual journey, you may not have recognized it when it was happening, but when you look back on your life, you think and you see, wow, man, my parents really had an impact on my spiritual life. Wow, I had a mentor that really invested in my life. I had a teacher that was just great and really helped me grow in this area. When people accept awards, they usually emphasize the influences of other people on their lives to get them to where they are now. And so as we look at Timothy's life, just briefly today, we see that he wasn't an exception to this truth. In fact, Paul brings out the impact that his mother and grandmother had on his life, and his faith, and his ministry. So as we think about Timothy, we know in the Bible that when Paul writes his letters, Timothy was a younger, trusted traveling companion of Paul. He was a co-worker of Paul in the gospel work. We think about when Paul meets Timothy is in Acts 16, verses 1 through 3. Paul comes to the city of Lystra, and there he finds young Timothy there. And it's stated that his mother is a Jewish believer, his father is a Greek. And so obviously his mother's religious influence won out in that area. For Paul says that he finds Timothy very well spoken of by the believers in that area. And so he determines to, I want Timothy by my side. I want Timothy to accompany me on my missionary journeys at times. And that's kind of the start of their friendship, of their working relationship in the gospel work. When you get to 2 Timothy, as we dive in today, Paul is near the end of his life. He's in prison in Rome. And he's writing to Timothy to encourage him, to continue on being faithful, to continue in ministry, to kind of carry the mantle forward of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we first see the first passage this morning is from 2 Timothy 1:5. Now let's read a little bit of the context. So 2 Timothy 1:1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So after a short greeting, Paul talks to Timothy, and he thanks God as he remembers Timothy and his prayers. He remembers his tears, probably when he left him at Ephesus. In this verse, we see three aspects. So we're really going to dive into verse 5, and in that verse, we see three aspects of Timothy's faith. And the first one is found at the beginning of verse 5. Paul says he remembers Timothy's sincere faith. Think about in life, we are bombarded with fake things. You got fake grass, you got fake animals in your yard, you have fake TV shows, you got fake wood. The list could go on. But as you think about fakeness, it's not just found in objects that we create, but it's found in people too. We can easily get into this mode of being fake around other people by putting on a show. People make fake image of themselves on social media. People stage, you know, this awesome looking photograph, and here it is, they staged it, it's essentially fake. And the sad truth is that there is such a thing as fake Christianity. This would be people who are not truly, who are not sincerely, genuinely Christians. So they may put on a good show, they may even be very moral people, but deep down, they are not true Christ followers. And in Paul's experience, he saw this firsthand. You think about Demas, who deserted him because of the love of the world. And possibly others did as well, and as Paul lived. And that's why I think Paul is even more grateful as he thinks about Timothy's sincere faith. And this sincere faith is genuine. So it's not faith that just is an act, but faith that shows itself in good works, in perseverance. And when you really think about sincere versus insincere faith, what it comes down to is that insincere faith yearns for the approval of others, while sincere faith rests on the approval of God in Christ. This faith of Timothy's is just an encouragement to Paul, who's thankful to God for it. Do you have a sincere, genuine faith in Christ Jesus? Do you sincerely worship God? Do you sincerely come to church? Do you sincerely serve other people and help other people? Or is it all show? Is it all fake? We see that Timothy's faith wasn't fake, but it was genuine. It was sincere. And Paul is just so thankful for it. But also we see that his faith was personal. So let's hold off on the middle of verse 5 for now, but focus on the end of verse 5. So Paul's talking about Timothy's family's faith, but then right after he says, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So his family's faith was great, but his family's faith was not enough to save him. So no one's faith can be transferred to your account. It must be your own personal trust in Jesus Christ. So salvation is not something that, obviously Christ does it for us, but I mean when it comes to other people, salvation is not something that someone else can do for you. It's like someone else believes, so then that means that I have believed. No, that's not how it works. So you can rely on a lot of people to do other things for you, to mow your grass, to cook your meals, to taking out your trash, to paying your bills, doing your housework, but not salvation. You can't contract belief out to another person or to another company. No one can believe for you. Belief has to be something that comes from you personally. So belief isn't derived genetically. It's not passed on automatically. But it comes from you, your personal, individual self. So you can't say that because I'm a Smith, then that makes me a Christian. You can't say I grew up in a godly home, that makes me a Christian. When you die, God isn't going to say, well, your whole family believes, so all right, you're allowed in heaven. That's not how it works. He's going to see if did you have a personal faith in Christ. And it's sad to say, but it's the truth, is that there are untold numbers of people who are deceived into thinking that their upbringing or family's belief will rescue them from eternal condemnation. And on the last day, they will be utterly shocked to hear Christ say, I never knew you. I never knew you. See, Paul didn't merely say, this faith dwelt in your family and just leave it there. But he said, it dwelt in your family, but I'm sure it dwells in you too. And that's important. It dwells in you as well. Do you personally, genuinely believe or not? And this is important for individuals to think about, but also as you think about it on the other side, it's important as parents, as family members, as friends to think about as well. I've seen parents upon parents who think that because they created this good environment for their children, because they put them in a certain school setting, then that means their child will be a Christian. The child may be able to recite memory verse after memory verse. The child may not do anything overtly immoral. They may give all the correct Bible answers. But that doesn't mean that they have genuinely believed. Each child, each person needs to believe in Jesus Christ, him or herself. Parents, although you greatly desire for your children to believe in Jesus Christ, faith cannot be forced. Because if you think about it, if faith is forced, it's insincere. Faith cannot be manipulated or pressured. It must sincerely, genuinely, personally come from the individual. Now, obviously, of course, we know God works in the person's life. I'm here to say that you can't force that. You can't force faith. And what's neat about Timothy, as we find in the middle of verse 5, is that he had this heritage of faith. He had a heritage of faith. An investigation into the 18th century famous preacher Jonathan Edwards showed that of the 1,394 known descendants of Jonathan Edwards, 100 became preachers and missionaries, 100 lawyers, 80 public officials, 75 Army and Navy officers, 65 college professors, 60 physicians, 60 prominent authors, 30 judges, 13 college presidents, 3 United States senators, and 1 vice president of the United States. That's an impressive heritage, family history when it comes to profession, jobs. But what if you had a family history of like that of faith? That would be even more great. There's definitely a blessing in having a heritage of faith, but that doesn't mean that not having a heritage of faith makes you any less Christian? Does it make you any less godly? Some of you may be the first person saved in your family, and that's great. And maybe you can be the start of a heritage of faith. But others of us may be down a long line of people who have believed. Remember the blessing of having that heritage, that legacy. And as Paul writes to Timothy, he's thankful for Timothy's faith, but he also wants to remind Timothy of his heritage of faith. Apparently, Timothy's mother and grandmother were believers, both Christians. And Paul is essentially saying, don't forget your roots. Timothy, remember the faith that dwelled in your mother, your grandmother, which is the same faith as what you have. And as we think about this first verse, we see that a great implication is that your sincere faith can have an impact on others. You think about Timothy's grandmother and mother, and their faith definitely had an impact on Timothy. And that's why Paul brings it out. It's like, Timothy, remember. Now, of course, our faith doesn't always influence our family members to the point where they believe. I think of many, many godly, faithful Christians who have tried and tried, who have witnessed and witnessed to family members who have just not believed. And that happens. God has to work in their life. They have to personally repent and believe. You can only do so much. But we can't get around the fact that we do surely influence our family members. Yet, as I talked about earlier, this isn't just limited to family. We influence other people. We can help them grow. And that's why I broadened it out to others. So how can we have an impact with our faith on other people? I think there's numerous ways. They see your faith lived out in the daily routine of life. They witness how you talk, how you act. Do you live as an unbeliever or as someone who has grace with other people? Do they see you living in Christ-like ways, or do they see you living in worldly ways? Do you talk with others with rudeness and harshness? Or do you have humility and gentleness? You see, your faith is seen in how you act and how you talk, but is also seen in your priorities in life. Consider this. As a parent, what do your priorities communicate to your children? If work is the most important thing in your life, your kids will think that work is the most important thing in life. If you skip the many available services of the church, do you think your children will see the importance of church attendance? What are you communicating? What are your priorities? Are your priorities just gaining money, getting approval of other people, having a comfortable Christianity? That's going to be communicated to your kids, and it's going to have an impact on them. Parents, what eternal legacy will you have upon your children? What will influence them? That you bought them all these nice things and created a comfortable environment, or that you put God first? How will they remember you? As a deeply rooted man or woman of God, or as someone who sought after the things of the world? And this can be taken even more broadly. What do your priorities communicate to others? So not just family, but to other people, your coworkers, your friends, people you meet. You see, we influence people even when we don't realize it. People see our faith persevere in the hardest of times or the easiest of times. Do they see our faith wavering, or do they see our faith persevering? Do we give up during trials? Do we throw in the towel? Or do we have faith in God that He will provide, He will take care of me? And what a great example we can show to our family or to anyone else. So when you think about moms, your faith is seen by your children every day. They are watching you. I think especially, I think of Brawley as well, as fathers too and others. But I think about right now, Silas is like a parrot to me. Everything I say, he repeats. So you got to be careful, right? Everything I do, he wants to do. And he has amazing memory, as kids often do. What am I doing to show Christ's likeness? I'm influencing him. We influence other people. Christians, your faith is seen every day by your coworkers, your friends. You see, Timothy's faith was encouraging to Paul. Paul's faith obviously helped Timothy grow. And Timothy's family members, his mother and grandmother, certainly had an impact on him. You know, they probably just thought of themselves as a typical Christian mother and grandmother. Yet think about how their impact on Timothy had an impact on the world. What I mean by that is their Christian faith and their sharing of God's truth helped Timothy grow to be the man he was. And then Timothy would then join Paul and make a lasting impact on the kingdom in that way, where he'd be reaching other people and having an impact on others. And that's the crazy thing how God works, is that you don't know what your influence on another person will have on the kingdom. What impact will your faith have on someone else? On the other side, if you had a godly upbringing, don't take it for granted. Are you thankful for the godly mother that you had, if you had one? Don't take her influence for granted. And this may seem like, man, that's a lot of pressure, right? That's a lot of pressure because I'm impacting other people. But if you really think about it, it's just you're living your life the way God has commanded us to live. We're living in light of the gospel. Timothy's mother and grandmother weren't superhumans of faith. They were normal people who had faith in their awesome God. They trusted in the one who loved them. They lived in light of his saving grace, his empowering grace. And that's what we're called to do as well. To live in light of his grace, to be faithful. Turn over now to 2 Timothy 3. We'll look at our second passage for today. And in the context of chapter 3, Paul is comparing the characteristics of the path of the ungodly people with characteristics and path of godly people. So he talks about how the ungodly go from bad to worse. They deceive. They're being deceived. But Timothy is called to continue in what he learned and believed. So let's read 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So in this text, we first come upon the imperative to continue in the scriptures, which is already up there. The imperative to continue in the scriptures. And the imperative is to continue. Continue in what you learned and believed. And so this is most definitely talking about the scriptures, and this is what he learned. But also, I believe, the way of life of Paul and the way of life of his family members. So really we see a focus on Scripture in this passage. And in, he shows us that our dedication to the Word should be continual. And his imperative to continue implies what? It implies that there is a temptation to not continue in what we learned. But why is there a temptation to not continue in what we learn in the Bible? Because we want our own way. We think we know what is best in life, what's pleasing to us, and what comes easy for us. And sometimes the Bible, following it, is hard. It's not always easy. We think we know what's best, but yet we need reminded that we need to rely and remain faithful on the Word of God. And we are to continue and to continue and continue because the temptation to give up, to not continue, is always present. You see, Timothy would encounter very hard times in ministry, I'm sure. He would encounter ungodly people, ungodly teaching. And what's most important was a dedication to Scripture. And I want to tell you today that one of the most important things in your life is a dedication to the Word of God. A dedication to the Word of God helps you grow. It helps you remain faithful and vigilant. You see, when you start to see a lack of commitment to Scripture, you start to see a trajectory of spiritual decline because you're getting away from your foundation. You're getting away from what grows you, from what's powerful and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. But we also see that this dedication takes learning and belief. You know, it's easy to just think about, you know, learning when it comes to the Bible, like, you know, I know the answers, but do you really believe it? And that's why he emphasized learning and believe, learning and you have been convinced of or assured of. See, knowledge doesn't just pop into your head, you must learn it. That means you need to take time to read the Bible, to study the Bible. No matter how many times you have read through the Bible, keep reading through it. It's amazing that you think you know the answers and then you keep diving in and it's like, I keep learning more. No matter how many years I'm a Christian, I keep learning more. It's like a treasure trove where you just keep finding more, where it's bottomless. You must take time to be under the preaching of the Word of God consistently, to learn. But as Paul brought out, learning is not enough. You can know every Bible trivia question and answer, but you can still be unsaved. You can know the Bible in and out, but not grow. So learning is crucial, but you must also believe it. Be convinced of it. Be assured of it. So we believe the Word because we remember that it is the very Word of God. It is God-breathed. So the Bible isn't just merely another book. It's not just a textbook in the class of life. No, it's God's perfect, sufficient Word to us. And believing in the Word motivates us to continue in the Word because I remember and I believe that is God's Word, and so I continue in it. So our dedication to Scripture is not because we've always done it as a church or as a family or even as a person. It's not because I've always done it, but because I fervently believe it. That's where your foundation must lie. Because if you just do it because you've always done it, then you're more prone to just be like, yeah, I guess I can stop now. But But if I truly believe it, if I truly believe this is God's word, I'm going to continue in it. Do you continue in what you have learned, in what you have believed in the Scriptures? And then we also see in verses 15b through 17 the importance of the Scriptures. Harold M. Weist gave this illustration. He says, a former park ranger at Yellowstone National Park tells a story of a ranger leading a group of hikers to this fire lookout. And the ranger was so intent on telling the hikers about the flowers and the animals that he considered the messages on his two-way radio to be annoying, to be distracting, so he switched it off. And so as he got to the tower, the ranger was met with this nearly breathless lookout who asked why he hadn't responded to the messages on the radio. And what he came to find out was a grizzly bear had been stalking the group, and the authorities were trying to warn him of the danger. It makes you think, any time we turn away from or we switch off the message of God's word, we put at peril ourselves, but also others. There's great importance in the Bible. As we see, as he brings out, because the sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Scripture has the power to lead us to faith. Because they show us our desperate need for Christ. They show us the way of life through Christ and what He has done. They instruct us in the way of salvation, which is faith in Jesus. It is through the Word of God that we get the knowledge of the truth. They're able to make us wise for salvation because Scripture comes from God Himself. It's breathed out by God. It's profitable. It's valuable. It trains us, it corrects us, it equips us for good works. So do you see the importance of Scripture? Do you hold fast to it with everything within you? So we are to continue in Scripture, remember the importance of Scripture, but also, as we see in these verses, remember the impact of those devoted to Scripture. So as we consider the end of verse 14, the beginning of verse 15, we see Paul's encouragement to Timothy to remember who he learned the Scriptures from. Paul's probably alluding to himself, to Timothy's mother and grandmother, who all taught Timothy the truth of God's word. So it's like Paul is saying, Timothy, remember who you learned the Bible from. So you didn't hear it from some immoral false deceiver. You heard it from me. You heard it from your family members who can be trusted. Remember their lives. Remember their dedication to Scripture. And he brings out that Timothy has been acquainted from childhood with Scripture. It said that Jewish children were to be trained in the Scriptures from the age of 5. So we come to understand that Timothy's mother made sure that he was immersed in the Word of God. And this devotion, this dedication to Scripture was passed down to Timothy as he saw the importance of it and really truly believed in it. And then from these texts, these verses, we see another implication, or the implication from this text, is that your dedication to Scripture can have an impact on others. So Timothy's mother made sure that Timothy was acquainted with the Word of God from an early age because she saw the importance of it. She knew how powerful it was. And this devotion made an impact on Timothy. So So moms, one of the best things you can do for your children is to have a devotion for the Word of God. Because if they see your dedication, your devotion, that's going to impress upon them the importance of it. Parents, do you teach your children the Word of God consistently? Do you make sure that they're regularly sitting under the preaching and teaching of God's Word? Do you interweave scriptural truths with everyday conversation? You see, a dedication to God's Word doesn't just come naturally. We need to example it for them. We need to rely upon it ourselves for them. We need to put it in its proper place. What if people, they saw you go through a very hard time, and there you are, looking to the Scripture for answers, for encouragement? What if, even if your children saw you in the easier times, diving into the Word of God, growing, they will get the impression, my mom or my dad utterly relies upon Scripture for life. They truly believe that God's Word is God's Word to mankind. It is perfect, it is sufficient, and they turn to it all the time. And if your mother is like this, be thankful. I'm sure it made an impact on you. Even if you never had that from your mother, remember those in your life who did have devotion to God's Word and did have an impact on your life. And so when we really take these two texts together, we understand that God uses your deeply rooted faith to impact others. So Paul has brought to memory for Timothy the impact of his mother and grandmother upon his life. So as we think, would Timothy be the great godly man that he was without them? It's hard to say. But we must never forget the impact of a deeply rooted, scripture-devoted faith that a mother can have. Timothy is evidence of this reality. If you had a mom like that, thank her. Thank her for the influence. If you didn't have a mom like that, you'd still be grateful for your mother. But remember that God was gracious enough to send other people in your life to make that impact on you. If you're a young mom, remember that you were a great influencer in your child's life. If you're an older mom, your kids are grown, they're living on their own, they're out of the home. Thank you for being a good example to your kids. But even if you didn't live like this, don't live in regret. Don't live in regret, but remember that even now, you can influence and impact your grown children. This can be applied broadly too, where our deeply rooted faith can impact anybody that we interact with. And we praise the Lord that He uses us, sinful people as we are, to help people grow and to impact their lives for His glory. And as I brought out a little bit earlier, this, it kind of feels like a lot of pressure, a lot of weight. It's like, man, I'm impacting people and I don't even realize it. And man, I got to get on my game all the time. And so where's your motivation? Is what it comes down to is that how can we have any impact on others? How? Because the gospel has had such an impact on us. We are all sinners. Each and every one of us, we fell short of the glory of God. Our sin against the holy God made us deserving of wrath. Yet in His great mercy, He sent His only Son to come and die on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternal life and forgiveness through faith in His Son. He rose from the dead. He conquered death's hold upon us. What grace. What mercy. What impact. He He's changed our lives by giving us His Spirit and giving us a new heart. So that what it comes down to is that His grace is the only reason we can show grace to other people. His grace is the means of our impact of other people. Where we're relying upon His grace. We can't do this on our own. We can't live the kind of godly life that makes an impact, a good impact on others. What we need is God's empowering grace. Where every day we go to God and we say, I need You. I can't do this on my own, but I need You. So the only reason we can show grace to others is because we have been shown grace. And His grace is the only reason that we can have even the smallest impact on other people. Let's pray. Dear gracious Lord and Savior, we thank You for Your grace that was shown in our lives. We have utterly changed us and made the all-time impact on our lives. For we have been, and where we are now new creations in Christ Jesus. And it's only because of that that we can impact others. I pray as we were reminded today that we would have that dedication to Scripture. I pray that we would have that deeply rooted faith that influences other people, that really points them back to Your Word, points them to Christ. That's what we long for, God. I pray that You would help us in that. In Christ's name, amen.